There's a very strange Rashi in Parshat Bo, which is Parshat HaChodesh. The Chumash in source number one says, "Ushmartem et hamatzot, ki be'etzem hayom hazeh hotzeti et zivoteichem me'eretz Mitzrayim, ushmartem et hayom hazeh ledorotechem chukat olam." So the term "ushmartem et hamatzot," to guard the matzot. Now you know why we have such a thing as shmur matzah. Because they're actually, this is not like one of these things that there's some kind of a chumrah that somebody made up at some point. This is actually a pasuk in the Torah, ushmartem et hamatzot, that you need to guard the matzot, and this is why people will eat shmur matzah. And again, I'll say very clearly, one should eat shmur matzah certainly for the Seder, certainly for what one would call matzat mitzvah. There were those who would argue that anytime you eat matzah over Pesach, you fulfill a mitzvah. And if that's true, meaning you can't eat bread, so you eat matzah. So if you can't eat bread and you eat matzah, is the eating of the matzah itself a mitzvah, aside from Seder night? Or is it just that you can't eat bread? So there are those who argue that every time you eat it, you would fulfill a mitzvah. If that's the case, then there would be a logic of eating exclusively shmur matzah, because then any time you eat it, you fulfill the mitzvah of eating what is matzah instead of just eating something which is not chametz. Which is regular matzah is not chametz, but it's not what's considered to be matzat mitzvah. Anyway, I don't know the difference of the prices. I don't know. I'll say nothing else about that. Rashi makes a very strange drasha, which is based on the Mechilta. And there's actually two interpretations Rashi gives. Both of them are based on the Mechilta. Ushmartem et hamatzot. The first one is a very pragmatic and or practical suggestion, which I think would horrify all of you. It says, Ushmartem et hamatzot, source number two, Shelo yevo ledei chimutz. Why should you guard your matzah that it does not become chametz? That's not the part that was going to horrify you. The next part is mikan amru tafach totosh betzonen, and therefore, if it starts to rise, take cold water and throw it on the dough in order to calm down the dough and to keep it kosher lePesach. Now, I can assure you that if any of you were making matzah and you start to see it rise, you would very quickly get rid of it. This itself, by the way, is a very strange thing. This is in the Gemara as well. And what it may force you to do is to reinterpret what exactly is chametz and what exactly is matzah. But today we're not talking about chametz, we're not talking about matzah, we're talking about the next part of the Rashi. Rabbi Yoshaya Omer, Al tehi korei et hamatzot, ela et hamitzvot. Don't say ushmartem et hamatzot, that you should guard your matzah, rather you should guard your mitzvot. The same way that you should not let your matzah become chametz, machmitzin, right from the word chametz, kach ein machmitzin et hamitzvah. You should also not, now how do you translate machmitz in the second time? So that's interesting, because you all know that that's the interpretation of the word, probably, or at least partially, because of this limud, lahachmitz. To miss an opportunity, what does the word really mean, lahachmitz? It means to make chametz. To make chametz. So again, just in terms of the etymology, we realize lahachmitz comes from the word chametz. What happens when something becomes chametz? The dough becomes sour, the dough rises. But it's a very interesting Rashi, and he says, Ella, imba'a liyadcha asei otam miyad. If an opportunity of a mitzvah comes, then you should do it immediately. Why Rashi brings this is not so simple. Because this is one of these things that does not sound necessarily like pshat in the pasuk. Apparently what's bothering Rashi is the word ushmartem. And actually the word shmartem is used twice in the pasuk. Ushmartem et hamatzot in the beginning, and then it says ushmartem et hayom hazeh. So it seems to me that Rashi feels that this word shimur, to guard, now I'm not sure how you would translate this into English, the idea of Shimur, but the main idea that Rashi gets from this is this idea of really of what we would call Zrizut, even though Rashi doesn't necessarily use that word. Rather, he says, right? Elim ba'yitcha, aseh otcha miyad. Do it immediately. The reason why I connect it with Zrizut is that Chazal do in half a dozen places, but perhaps the best place for us to look would be in the Mesilat Yesharim, which is the classic work by the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in source number 6, where he writes, and this is in his chapter about Zrizut, about the mitzvah of Zrizut, and he writes, Al kein hizhiru zichronam levracha, in the Mechilta that we're quoting, he said, the rabbis warned, Ushmartem et hamatzot, mitzvah haba aliyadcha al tachnitzena, va'amru zrizim makdimim lemitzvot. That there's an idea of Zrizut. Zrizim makdimim lemitzvot. What exactly does that mean, Zrizim makdimim lemitzvot? That, like, the introduction to the idea of doing a mitzvah is Zrizut. Now, why exactly this should be is not clear. V'chein amru la'olam yarutz adam l'dvar mitzvah, v'afilu b'shabbat. Shabbat is generally time you're not supposed to run, but if there's a mitzvah to do, you run to do the mitzvah. U'v'midrash amru la'olam yarutz adam, one second, midrash amru hu'yengenu almut bizrizut. Now, I'm going to stop here, because I'm not ready to read the rest of the Mesilat Yesharim. And by the way, if you find the words very difficult, I did find an English Mesilat Yesharim online, which is on the next page, which I was able to cut and paste for you. But stop with the Mesilat Yesharim for a moment. The association between Zrizut and the Midah of... What is Zrizut? One second. Let's go back. What does the word Zrizut mean? So is this a positive trait in Judaism, Zrizut?
Positive haste.
Why is this a good trait?
It's tied into the whole idea of the Korban Pesach that you eat it.
Absolutely. That is absolutely, and hold on to the Korban Pesach, I'll try to come back to it. But Zrizut, let me point out something which was observed by Rav Huttner, which is in this book, Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, the very first, as he called it, Ma'amar, or he called it Maimer. This is the very first one, where he talks about this issue of Zrizut. He makes an observation based on the Gemara in source number 3 and the Pasuk in Mishlei, source number 4. In source number 3 it says, Amar B'Yochanan, Il mole lo netna Torah li Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan observed, had God not given us the Torah, למדנו צניעות מחתול, וגזל מנמלה, ואריות מיונה, ודרך ארץ מתרנגול. That had it not been for that the Torah was given, we could have observed God's creation, and we could have come to all kinds of positive conclusions based upon the way that different animals behave. We could have learned modesty from the cat, not to steal from the ant. We could have learned monogamy from the Yonah, from the dove, and Derech Eretz, which over here, Derech Eretz is very often in rabbinic literature, Derech Eretz means sexual behavior, we could have learned that from the Tarnigol. And it goes into a whole discussion about how the Tarnigol copulates. Source number 4 says, Lech el hanimala atzel, I like the English translation, go to the ant, you sluggard, Ra'e drachecha v'chacham. Consider her ways and be wise. So what is the midah of the nimala as far as Mishlei is concerned?
Industrious.
Industrious is the right word. That the ant is industrious, the ant isn't lazy, the ant works, the ant I mean, assuming that the opposite of atzel is liot zariz, so you could have learned zrizut from the mila. Nonetheless, this was left off of the list in the Gemara in Erevin. Yeah.
It bothers me because you could have learned opposite characteristics from other animals.
So you still need the Torah. Okay, I agree. Yeah, we need positive role models. So may as well use the cat and the rooster. Negative things. So one of the things that Rav Huttner observes is the fact that the Zrizut was left off this list. Now, the Malbim in source number 5, he just throws it on. He says, commenting on that verse in Mishlei, the Malbim writes, Lechem Nemala Atzel, Kol Kachot Maasei Bereshit Netu'im B'Nefesh Adam, V'Kol Koach U'Madash Yimtza Adam B'Min U'B'Min Mibalei Chayim, Yoda Ki Kein Yimtza Gam B'Nefesho. Any positive trait you see in all of God's creation, man should have in his soul as well. V'Rbe Midot, and there's many traits that animals have they don't need to exist. And God gave these traits to these animals who don't need it for survival, so it should not be part of instinct. He gave it in order that we should learn. So his point is that when he sees this verse about Lechem Mela Atzel, using the Nimala as an example, as far as the Malbim is concerned, the Malbim takes the example of the Nimala and Zrizut and attaches it to the list of the Gemara in Erevin. Correct? The Gemara in Erevin had a whole bunch of things. He says, no, look at the Nimala. He also made a very interesting observation, which maybe touches your question, where he's saying, pay attention to things that animals don't need for instinct. And therefore, God gave them something which was not for their own survival. So if God gave it to them, it's not for their survival. They don't need it. So why is it there? It's there for us to learn a lesson from. And therefore, the fact that the ant will collect far more food than it actually needs is something that we should learn from. And therefore, we should also learn this idea of Zrizut. So therefore, as far as he's concerned, Zrizut should absolutely be on this list. Yeah. I know. Which really may be the answer to the question why it's not on it. I agree. I noticed that as well. How do you put the Nemala twice? Or use something else, or use something else as the example of Gzela. But the point is well taken. See, no. I'll read to you the paragraph in the Pachad Yitzchak of a Lokach Yetzei Mitoch Devarei Boteinu Sheshanu. This is not what emerges from the rabbis of Torah. Molid Anatara Hayinu Lamedin Sniut Mechatul Gezel Min Amalav Variot Miyona Derech Eretz Mitarnegol. Hine Yesh Lanu Kan Rishima Shel Kama Chovot Adam Ba Avodat Boro Shanu Motzim Rishuman Gam Biteva Habalchai. V'Ilu Midat Has Rizut Shale Amar Katuv Bim Furash. That he says that the ant should be a Beit Musar, a place that you can really learn proper ethical behavior from. Nishmata mirishimazu, it was left out of the list. Hashmata zu ma'alefet otanu, shagam shebevadai tvu'ahi midat hazrizut b'tiv'a shel hanimala, b'kol makom halimud eitzel hanimala, eino mishtayech l'sug limudei haderech eretz shekadma l'torah, and he goes on to his analysis. But again, he absolutely disagrees with the Malbim. The Malbim says, make an addendum to the list. The Torah, the Gemara was not exclusive. Rav Yochanan did not give every list. Or maybe, as you suggested, the Nimala is already on the list. We don't want to give too much credit to ants. Most of you don't even like ants, so you don't want to go give them too much credit. And nonetheless, Rav Huttner's conclusion is the opposite of the Malbim's conclusion. He's saying, no, this is very specific. This result is not there. See, it's interesting. Go ahead. Okay. You're right, right? You can, well, it doesn't eat it. If you collect, okay. Correct. Mm-hmm. Any of you familiar with the with Rav Yisrael Salanter's list of 13 traits that you, it's in the front of some Siddurim. Have you ever seen this? No? It's okay. He took it for Benjamin Franklin. So it's what? Yeah. No, absolutely. It actually, it's even worse than he took it from Benjamin Franklin. It wasn't he who took it from Benjamin. It was a maskil. He took it from a maskil who took it from Benjamin Franklin. So if that's, and he knew it was a maskil, and he thought, and he thought that it was very good traits and very good ideas. I mean, and therefore should be published. Here, Franklin wrote, and this, by the way, he wrote it in a book which was towards the end of his life. It was not published till after he died. He did not lead his life this way. He led his life very differently, but once he was old and he went and contemplated, then he wrote how other people should lead their lives. And one of the things that he wrote was, his number six was industry. So therefore, whoever said industrious has been influenced by Benjamin Franklin. Lose no time, be always employed in something useful, cut off all unnecessary actions. In Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's list, again, which is based upon this other individual, but coming, he calls it zrizut, not to waste a second, levatala, do everything needed to be done. Now, the question is this what the Gemara means, or the Mechilta means, when it talks about mitzvah bal yadcha al tachmitzena? Meaning, are we simply talking about moving quickly, going through the checklist, getting everything done that you need to be done? Are we talking about something which easily could be on a list of a smart non-Jew? Again, Judaism respects non-Jews. Let's not make any mistake about it. What does it say about non-Jews? Chachma begoyim ta'amin. The question is Torah begoyim, that's something else. Which means the zrizut of Benjamin Franklin, and for that matter, the Musar of Yisrael Salanter. And you can then, if you want to analyze the whole list, I can give you the whole list and you can compare them. They're not that different. Which means the basis of the Musar over here, to use your time and to do things you need to do and get things done properly, or as you said before, early to bed, early to rise, and things like that, you know, is that necessarily an expression of Avodat Hashem? Or is that a tool which is a good tool to use for anyone to be, you know, the five rules of being an effective business person or something like that? Which means, are we talking about something which is Torah per se, or are you talking about something which is simply pragmatic? When I go back to the pasuk that we're talking about, ushmartem et matzot. So what are you talking about then? What does it mean, shmartem et matzot? What's the idea to guard matzot? Because you don't want it to turn into chametz. Now, what did Rashi tell us based on the Mechilta? Not just shmartem et matzot, shmartem et mitzvot. Why? Mitzvah al tach mitzena. But that's very strange. If I am lazy with my performance of my baking of the matzot, what's the worst case scenario? I have chametz. If I'm lazy in the performance of the mitzvah, so first of all, it could be worst case scenario, I don't get to do the mitzvah. The lack of performance of a mitzvah is not the same thing as chametz. Right? This always happens to me, at least, I don't know, to you. Let's say, like somebody's sitting Shiva. So you say, okay, I'm not going to go the first day because it's too early. I'm not going to go the first 3 days. And then by the time you think about it, it's ready the last day and it's late. Should I go? Should I not go? Right? Does this happen to all of you? This only happens to me. I think it's a good example because then you don't want to do it too soon. But then again, what? I know. I'm a rabbi. I know this. So if you didn't go, so what happened? Did you now turn something into chametz? Or you just didn't do a mitzvah? So what kind of comparison is this? And by the way, Rav Huttner has a whole paragraph about this as well. I mean, after last week, I have to quote. I don't want to not bring Geulah Le'olam. Yeah. Why are you assuming it's before Pesach? people used to make matzah on Pesach also. How's that for a scary thought? Now you know why you may want to start pouring cold water on it when it starts to rise. Say that again. Is Pinchas? So you're right. You're right. The idea that Kohanim Azrizim, which I don't know if you're up on Daf Yomi, but there was a whole discussion on that in today's Daf as well. Again, it's interesting because it talked about Zrizut, it talked about the Kohanim. Is the Kohanim's Zrizut the same thing as the Zrizut of Benjamin Franklin? I'm not convinced. I mean, for example, Rashi in a couple of places says the following. Look at source. Twelve is where the Gemara says Kohanim Zrizimhein. Source 13 is Rashi Zrizimhein v'hama'alan sham yodea la'achav Kohanim v'yizharubahin. The person who's talking about a particular avodah of the Korban Pesach, he says the one who does the avodah will inform. It's very interesting that his definition of Zrizim is not to do it quickly, but will do it right. It's not so much quickly as it's quickly and right, because there's also Yodiyah, he'll inform them. If that's not clear enough, Rashi in source 14, Rabbi de Ishtik Savar Konim Zrizim Heim, Amrinin Bekama Duchti, it said a number of places, the Kivan Shenichnas Avodah, Biyadua Shelimduhu Hilchot Kadosh, that they will learn the proper laws. So it's interesting that Rashi, in a number of places, understands that the zrizim of a kohen is zrizut of a kohen is not just to move quickly, which I'll go back to Benjamin Franklin's idea, but rather it's to do it effectively. They will zrizim, according to Rashi, means they'll do it right. They'll do the job right, not just they'll do it quickly. Does zrizut indicate doing something quick? Or does rizut, as far as the avodat Hashem, mean do something right? Because we understand that sometimes you do something too quick, that's going to guarantee that you didn't do it right. What exactly is the type of rizut which we're talking about over here, whereby mitzvah bal yadcha al tachmitzena, it gets turned into chametz? Where's the analogy? Where's the analogy that if you miss the mitzvah, so there's something which is missing? Again, does it really? You've pointed out that you should not go to visit a Beit Avel unless you're very close to them for the first 3 days. Does it make a difference if you go on the fourth day or the sixth day? I mean, did you do a different mitzvah? Are you going to say that one is that you've turned it into chametz and the other one you've done it properly? What kind of analogy is this? Shehamitzvah baliyadcha, as soon as the opportunity arises, then immediately you should do it so it doesn't turn into chametz. Again, matzah, if you let it rise, will become chametz. Other mitzvot, if you don't do them properly, are not necessarily going to turn into chametz, and thereby the example over here of the mechilta is somewhat challenging. And by the way, and again, Rashi tells us that's pshat and pasuk. That's the pshat. That's what the verse means. This is what the verse means because that's what Rashi's bringing in over here. So again, what is this trying to teach us? Now perhaps we continue in the Mesilat Yesharim to try to understand the part which is even more difficult. He quotes something which maybe you recognize from the Shir Shalom, Hu Yinahagenu Almut. Now this word Almut, some places you'll see it as two words, some places you'll see it as one word. What does the word Almut mean? Any language. What is the word Almut with an ayin? So he writes, Almut bizrizut. Now, why does Almut mean Bizrizut? So hold your place there and let's take a look in source 16, which again you have in the English as well. The verse itself is in 15 in Tehillim, Kizeh Elokim Elokeinu Olam Va'ed, Hu Yinahagenu Almut, that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide till death. Almut is understood here is till death, al mavet, al mut. Rabbi Brachiyev, Rabbi Chalbo, va'ula biyir, Rabbi Lezbe Shem Rechinina, atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyot rosh chola letzadikim, latid lavo. that God is going to be at the front of the cholal tzadikim is like from the word machalot, from the word dancing, like dancing in a circle. That God will be at the front when the tzadikim will dance in the future. Shitulavchem lechila lecholah k'tiv vehein olin alav ba'ulma umarin alav ki'ilu be'etzpa. And in the future, the tzadikim then will point with their finger for Omer, and they will say, "Kizeh Elokim Elokeinu Olam Ba'ed Ba'almut." What does Ba'almut mean? Here it says Bizrizut. Almut Ka'alin Ulmata. The word Almut means also, like there's a plain words here, like Ulmata. Ulmata, if you look at the English, it's translating it as like maidens, like young women, kedichtiv bitoch ulmot tofefot, tagum akilas at nisa olam she'ein bo mavet almut b'shnei lamot yinagenu ba'olam hazeh v'yinagenu ba'olam haba. So now, this was a very difficult passage. Read the English, or almut means like maidens, as written in the midst of damsels, or almut playing upon tofefot should really be. Should really be like drums, shouldn't be? Timbrels. Akila translated the word almut. Yeah. I didn't even know what that word is. It's like the opposite of euthanasia, right? Deathlessness, immortality. Almut. Beyond death. He will lead us to a world in which there is no death, or almut means to olamot. He will lead us in this world, and he will lead us into the world to come. Now, this whole midrash, I hope you appreciate, is not simple. But what this midrash is telling us is the following. The word almut, or the words almut, have a connotation of young vitality, of a young maiden, young vital, young vitality. It has a connotation of this world and the next. It has a connotation of immortality. So it's very interesting to put together immortality and vitality. And where exactly is the connection? If we go back to the Mesilat Yesharim, when he was talking about Zrizut, and he's looking, the Ramchal is trying to find some kind of parallel to this Midah of Zrizut, he goes, Hu yangenu amut bizrizut kalin ulmita kimad at amar bitoch alamot tofifot. He's quoting this midrash, ki az rizut hi midat shleimut gadol, and now he's explaining it. He says, because zrizut is this incredible midah, one of completion, asher tivo shel ha'adam monat menu ata, whereby man's nature prevents him at this point from this midah, umi shemitgaber v'tofes ba koma shiachol, and the person who completely actualizes their potential, Hinela atid lavo, they will find in the future yizkela beemet. They will really achieve it. Asher haboreit barach yitnelo bischaro, God will give him a reward. Chalaf masha mishtadel achare bizman avodato, that which he tried in this world. Now, this whole thing is again, it's not simple. Let me say what he is saying, that God will reward us for this result, aside from rewarding us from the actual mitzvah. Because man's inclination is to procrastinate, and man's inclination is not to do the most that we can, and the individual who uses the midah of zrizut, which we're still not exactly sure what it is or how it works, that's something where there will be reward for this specifically, even outside of the mitzvah itself. That's what he said. To be a Boy Scout.
I was thinking it's like, you know, whenever you do something, you see the mitzvot, you know, it's like, you should do more. You know, you should, like, next to Bracha, you should do more, you have that, and you should do it. But it's like, you should, like, if the more mitzvot you do, the more it comes at you. Like, it's like
I understand.
You're living in a reality where...
But answer my question.
Yeah.
Is this Avodat Hashem, or is this to be a Boy Scout? Or a Girl Scout? No.
I think it's a different mental space. That, and you're and the Korban Pesach. It's like to be in a state of readiness and awareness where you can move to the next, to the next whatever it is.
Okay. This is a theme of Pesach. You should have no doubt about it, right? There's no question that this is what Pesach Mitzrayim is about. Pesach Mitzrayim with your coats on your backs, right, and cooking it roasted, which is the quickest way to cook something, and the whole thing being done rapidly and not to let it become chametz. The whole theme there is one of speed. There's no, okay, here there should be no question. But the speed reaction, the question is... But the question is, for what purpose? Which means, if this is such important midah, so why don't we find the same thing, you know, make sure that you take your lulav and etrog, and I mean...
But we do, isn't that what they're saying?
They are, but it's not the prototype, which means it's built into Pesach, which we still need to understand. This is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is really to start counting time, and then it's a whole function of how time works and how we relate to time and what time is. And therefore, it's absolutely a part of the Pesach story. But once we understand that it's part of the Pesach story, then by extension, we will use this in all kinds of other areas as well. But in the other areas as an extension, over here, it's intrinsic. That's the difference. This is true, but the question is which kavanah we need and what exactly is going on. The Maharal will help us. The Maharal writes about this in half a dozen places. We only brought four of them. So let's take a look at source number 8. Ki ha mitzvot heim dvarim Elohim. This is in his commentary to Pirkei Avot. Ki ha-mitzvot heim dvarim Elohim. Mitzvot are divine stuff. U'lekach lo yuna'asim b'shihiya uvi'ikuv zman. Therefore, mitzvot should not be done deliberately or delayed. U'ma she'asur lahachmitz et ha-matzah v'asur lahachmit et ha-mitzvah ha-kol tam echad. The idea that you cannot let your matzah become chametz and you can't let your mitzvah become chametz comes down to a common point. Ki Yisrael yatsu mimitzrayim mikoach hamadrega ha'elyona ha'elokit she'ein bashiyat zman klal. U'kmo sherachnu b'zeh b'mkomo. Because God took us out of Egypt, leaving Egypt was something which is divine. And when we talk about the divine, that there is no shiyat zman klal. There is no delay of time at all. V'zet ta'am sh'asur lachmitz ha-mitzvah, ki yesham chimutz al ha-mitzvah kmo al ha-matzah, ki ha-mitzvah hi elokit, for a mitzvah is divine, ve'in ruy la hazman sh'shayach el dvrim shem ba'olam hazeh, sh'olam ha-gashmi tachat hazman. And therefore, one should not delay, because we delay. Delay is part of this world, and not part of the divine world. Let me remind you of something. First Rashi in the Torah. What does Rashi say? Bereshit bara Elokim, goes, the Torah should have begun with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is where, right? What is HaChodesh, what is the intrinsic idea of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? You have to start counting time. What is Bereshit about? What is Bereshit? Look at the Sforno, source 7. Bereshit, b'tchilat hazman, v'hu rega rishon bilti mitchalek shloi hazman kodem. What is Bereshit? Bereshit is the beginning of time. There was no time beforehand. Is that is very hard for you to understand, correct?
Because time is a framework that allows us to function. We'd go insane if we didn't have time, but it's an imposed framework. It's not.
Correct. And therefore, it's difficult for us to imagine. We know, you said the Big Bang.
Well,
we know.
It's all about breaking out of time.
We know the idea of relativity, that time, space, and matter are related to one another, but we know that before there is a Big Bang, before there is a creation, there is no time. God's existence is outside of time. Therefore, the performance of the mitzvah, and this is what we're beginning to get from the Maharal, the performance of the mitzvah is, in a sense, an attempt to break out of time in order to have a divine relationship. The performance of a mitzvah is the attempt to break out of time in order to have a relationship with God. What he's saying over here is time is part of this world. A mitzvah is something which is divine. A mitzvah is part of God's world. Leaving Egypt is something which God does for us. God takes us out of Egypt. If God takes us out of Egypt, that means there's something about leaving Egypt which in its very inherent qualities would be that there's a divine element in it. Again, think of the moment of, and I use the word moment deliberately, of how somehow the divine God swoops down into Egypt and grabs us out of Egypt. You right there have a meeting point between two different rules or two different constructs. One is this human construct, which began with the Bereshit. And again, imagine for yourselves that midrash that we all learned as kids, that the Bereshit is like a on three sides, right? It goes this way. You can't go before the Bereshit, because before Bereshit there is nothing. There is nothing before. There is no time. That's what the Sforno is saying. There is no time. There's nothing there. What is there? There's God. But God is outside of time. God transcends time. So with creation, we now live in a time-oriented world where every moment follows the next, going on to perhaps eternity. But we're stuck in this world, in this time-oriented world. God, who exists outside of time, somehow swoops down into Egypt. Lo yadei malach, lo yadei sor, that God comes down into Egypt, which means now we have a meeting point between the divine and between the human, between a time-oriented world and a world which transcends time. And this world which transcends time is part of leaving Egypt. Now, of course, what's the problem? We live within this world. So if we live in this world, we can't break out of this world. That's the problem. So there is one opportunity that we have to break out of this world. And that's called the performance of a mitzvah. And every time we do a mitzvah, what we're doing is we're having a relationship with the divine. And we're having a relationship which transcends time. So if this relationship with something which transcends time, but we're stuck within time, so how do we do the mitzvah? We do it with zrizut, but our zrizut is not the zrizut of Benjamin Franklin or the Boy Scout or the ant. Because what are they doing? They're just being efficient. They're being pragmatic. Perhaps because they have to work within it. But our performance of the mitzvah is trying to break out of time and have a relationship with the divine. And therefore, leaving Egypt, which is done by God, has to have these elements in it by doing everything as quick as possible, not because we want to get it out of the way, not because you want to put another check, or V, as they say in Israel. I did that one. Because by the way, that really is the Boy Scout approach. So you have all these things to do. Let me do everything quickly and get everything out of the way. What's so funny? No, because it's almost like it's not the doing it, it's that I want it to be done. I want everything to be done. And over here, the performance of the mitzvah, you said it's the kavanah. Absolutely, it's the kavanah. But it's somehow trying to break out of the limitations that I have. And now that we learn from Egypt. That we learn from the leaving of Egypt. But what's Rashi telling us? That the reality is that should be applied to all mitzvot. Because even though intrinsically it's part of leaving Egypt, the reality is that every time we do a mitzvah, it should be we're doing the mitzvah because the creator of the universe, who transcends time, space, and matter, asked us to do this, commanded us to do this. And when I perform the mitzvah, I have a relationship with God. And at that moment, I want to do it in such a way, I also want to break out of the confines that I have of time. And that's where this midah of zrizut is. The midah of zrizut is to get to this point that I have this relationship with God. Did that make any sense to any of you? No, but Shabbat is the result. It's the result. It's me'ein olam haba, because it's the result of having done the mitzvot bizrizut. He who or she who cooks Erev Shabbat will have food on Shabbat. which means it's after having done the mitzvot, now you can get to that point of me'ein olam haba. This is talking about how do you get to that point of me'ein olam haba, and it's saying trying to break through, and it's significant, and it's very significant that this is the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael receive. This is where it begins. This is the beginning of all mitzvot. It comes from over here, which therefore, if there's something specific about this, it becomes generic for all mitzvot. That's really what Rashi is saying. See, again, I want to stress, I'm not sure to what extent Zrizut means as fast as possible, but what it means is realize the limitations of time and realize the performance of the mitzvot is somehow relating to another sphere, and it's trying to have that relationship with the other sphere, which again takes a great deal of kavanah as well. The Maharal said it, but maybe we'll look a little bit further in the Maharal to see where he says it clearer in other places. So that becomes very interesting, because all of these mitzvot that have to do with time, correct, and he's saying the performance of all those mitzvot that are tied into time are to be done in a way that we say that we want to push it, take ourselves out of time, and that's what this rizut is. In source number 9, he writes in his commentary to the Gemara, the Maharal, "V'ni'omer v'chein muchachim divrei chachma ki matzot u'mitzvah b'shvil kach pruvim b'shem matzah and mitzvot are similar name ki ha'mitzvah hi kamo matzah ki kasher oseh ha'mitzvah mizdakech nafsho mipsulot ha'chomri, that when you do a mitzvah you get rid of the physical stuff, right? You purify yourself from physicality. Kamo shemizuchach ha'matzah min ha'psolot shel se'or shumit yecheis elachet, as matzah is purged from the se'or, from this agent that makes something into chametz. V'lakach amru mitzvah b'yidcha al tachmitzena mida amru lashon al tachmitzena etzel ha-mitzvah shema mida mitzvah gam ken lashon matzah. So he's just pointing out over here that there's a common point between matzah and mitzvah, and they're both getting rid of this physicality. Source 10 is the Maharal commenting on the Rashi. This is the Gur Aryeh, which is commentary on Rashi. He writes, Ela lidrosh de kishem she'in machmitzin et ha-matzot, kach ein machmitzim et ha-mitzvot, ve'im tomar ma inyan ze leze. You'll ask, what does one have to do with the other? She'toleh ha-mitzvah b'matzah, de tamad ha-shayach b'matzah, lo shayach b'mitzvah. Okay, this is something I really said before. You can't compare the two, because if you don't make it matzah, what is it? It's chametz. You didn't do the mitzvah. It's not necessarily chametz. So that's Maharal's asking, what is the comparison? And he goes, it's remarkable that Rashi brings this as part of his commentary to the verse, as if to say this is what the verse really means. The Maharal says, what are you talking about? This is very, very far from pshat. Therefore, you must say that there is a common denominator. The intellect, he's saying, also transcends time. Why do we have the mitzvah of matzah, the Maharal says? In order to remind us that it is God himself who came down into Egypt and took us out, knowing that God is transcendental and God exists outside of time. God is omnipresent. God is outside of time, and the fact that God came to Egypt is why we eat matzah. That means that God is outside of time. The eating of the matzah, or the making of the matzah, is what is our attempt to try to break through the constraints of time. Lo kamo dvarim shel chol shehem gashmiim shehem tachat hazman nitunim aval elu dvarim einu tachat hazman v'tzarech lasotam otam miyad. This is the kind of thing which is not included within the regular, linear world. Rather, this is something which exists on some other type of plane, which, by the way, is also very interesting, because, again, we live in a linear world. Event follows event follows event follows event. What's the exception to that? On Pesach. What do we do in Pesach? We go back in time. Because if we meaning the whole thing.
The irony is that the most time oriented pizza is baking matzoh. I mean, 8 minutes.
I agree that that is the irony, that is the paradox. But what is he teaching us? But what are we trying to accomplish by this? Which is, you can get stuck into the making of the matzah of just looking at the clock, oh, 18 minutes ago. And you can get stuck into the eating of the matzah, oh, I didn't eat a kazayit within 4 minutes, and the whole thing becomes that you got trapped by time. And what's he saying? That the making of the matzah and the eating of the matzah is an attempt to take us out of time and out of this, you know, this limitation, and rather to take us into a profound relationship with God, which ultimately is what the mitzvah is supposed to be about. Anyway, let's just finish this. V'im hu machmitz et ha-tzmah pogem et ha-mitzvah ki ilu hayta davar shehu tachat hazman. U'mize tavin ki ma she'in machmitzin et ha-matzah ve'et ha-mitzvah inyan echad hu she'in sham inyan zman be'ilu dvarim. That not to do something in zrizut, or let's turn it around. What did the Ramchal tell us? That God will reward you for this zrizut independently of the performance of the mitzvah. Why? Because it seems that according to the Ramchal, this zrizut is the relationship with God. Again, it's not to get it out of the way. It is this profound understanding of man that I want to have a relationship. I know that God is outside of time. I can't go outside of time, but what I can do is I can try to push the limits of time as much as I can. And that is what this rizut is. Which now you understand that this rizut is very different from this rizut of Benjamin Franklin or the ant. It's not the same thing. It's not the relationship with God. It's effective business practices. It's how to run your life, you know, in a way which you'll come effectively, but it has nothing to do with having a relationship with the divine. Let's read one more thing, the Maral in source 11.
And that would be the same way, I guess.
I guess.
Let me read one more thing in the Maharal source 11. Klomar shelo yeh haseor shebe isa hu ayetzer hara ma'akeva yadcha melasot ha-mitzvah. Vomiki source 11. Va'od mipnei ha-mitzvah shehi elokit. This is what you were looking for before. Ha-mitzvah shehi elokit. The mitzvah is divine. Eino tachat hazman ki yedavar gashmi hu tachat hazman. Ulefichach amar bizeh lashon al tachmitzena ki chametz nase bizman. Ulekach lamdu chazal or razal davar zeh min vishmartim et ha-matzot al tikri vishmartim et ha-matzot ela vishmartim et ha-mitzvot ki ha-mitzvah v'ha-matzah shneim dvar echad ki ha-mitzvah ha-elokit eino tachat hazman ulekach al tachmitzena lakevot oliyot nase bizman. That the whole idea of the mitzvah is to burst out of the limitations of time. Let me say a couple of things to be able to conclude so that some of this will make sense. Aside from the Pachad Yitzchak, there's a very interesting article in a book which is called Afike Mayim. Afike Mayim is based on lectures from Moshe Shapiro. This is from Tovshin Samach Dalad. So this was published 2 years ago. Rav Moshe Shapiro lives in Yerushalayim and was a student of Rav Huttner. He has two different chapters on this. And one of the things that he gets to, he doesn't quote Rav Huttner's article, but I don't blame him. I blame whoever. I don't know who wrote it, if he was aware of that. But if you go back to what we quoted, this thing of almut, of beyond life or eternity or
immortality,
one of the ideas that he develops is that when we perform the mitzvah in Zrizut, again, we are trying to break out of time, we are stuck within time, and we live, as I said, in this linear world. But Olam Haba, there is no time. Olam Haba rather exists, and I don't know the right word for this, I was looking up words, I think a good one is simultaneity. There really is. Simultaneity. It's that in Olam Haba, you're able to get all reward for all mitzvot at one time. Which means, sometimes we think about, oh, I did a good deed, I'll get a mitzvah. I did a good deed, I'll get Olam Haba. No, it's that Olam Haba, it's no longer time. That means this idea of Olam Haba, bursting out of the limitations, the result of Almut, of going beyond life, beyond death, to this other world, it's this other world that doesn't exist in this kind of a linear fashion, but it's this world that exists in God's world, and the performance of the mitzvah takes you there to this place where we get bombarded or showered with all reward for all mitzvot simultaneously for eternity, because it's not a question of time. It's not you get rewarded for this and then for that and then for the other thing. That's what Olam Haba is. And no, I'm saying that's something that maybe we can just, and I'll say this quickly, and we'll have to come back to this at another time. It's interesting that Chazal point out to us that the Beit HaMikdash, the Aron Kodesh, was lo min hamidah. Are you familiar with this? That the Beit HaMikdash, the Aron Kodesh, the Aron in the Beit HaMikdash, have you ever heard of this before? Didn't take up any space. If you do all the measurements, you'll see that it didn't take up any space. If you need to see this, source 20, Va'amar Reb Levi, Davar Zeh Misarat B'Yadeinu Me'Avotenu, Mokom Aron Eino Min Hamidah. That the place where the Aron Kodesh was did not take up any space, which means that the Aron Kodesh was transcendental in terms of space. So it's interesting. Pesach, I told you, is the starting point. Pesach is where we try to transcend time. You can't transcend time. But what can you do? We can try to do things as quickly as possible. Chag HaShivuot, which is Chag Matan Torateinu, the space no longer is important. Where did the Matan Torah take place? By Har Sinai. Where's that? We don't know. What happens to the Kedusha of Har Sinai? It goes into the Mishkan. It goes into the Beit HaMikdash. It goes into the Aron. Where is the Aron? It transcends space. Which means Pesach is about transcending time. Chag Shavuot is about transcending space. When we get to Chag HaSukkot, then we're told to basically take garbage and build a home out of it. To take psolet, to take garbage and to build a home out of it, to build the sukkah, and that becomes our dira, what? Transcending matter. Yeah. Transcending stuff. That's transcending matter. And that is really what Chag HaSukkot is about. It's that you take garbage and you make a home out of it, which is what we're saying is that the stuff that we have is not what's significant, and that seems to me that the Torah is leading us to be able to transcend matter. It's also interesting, the beginning of the Midrash that I read before, that in the future all the tzaddikim will stand around in a circle and point the finger at God. Meaning that's what Chag HaSukkot leads us up to. It leads us up to trying to imitate that dance of the future, that dance of the tzaddikim, of being able to point to God and say, this is back in source 16, Umarin alav ki ilu be'etzva omer, ki ze elokim elokeinu olam va'ed, hu yen hagenu almut, which means that it's this dance of eternity. Rav Soloveitchik had mentioned, you can find this in the second volume of Reflections of the Rav, this idea of dancing, that when you dance in a circle, what?
There's no beginning.
Correct. And therefore the dance, where it's in a circle, it's everything is the same, is a metaphor of being outside of time, and that is the metaphor of Olam Haba, that in Olam Haba that it's beyond time, beyond space, beyond matter, but there is one thing. And that is that God is in the middle, and every person is able to look and to point their finger and to have this absolute presence of God. What maybe we now are able to realize is, look, we live in a world where there's time and there's space and there's matter. God created that world. That means that God exists in a plane outside of time, space, and matter. Maybe that's what the Shalosh Regalim are supposed to help us do, to break out of time, to break out of space, to break out of matter, but not to have a world where there's nothing and anarchy and so forth, but rather to help us go beyond this world and to go on to a place which exists out of time, where all the rewards of all the mitzvot are all there at one, what's the word we used?
Simultaneity.
It's that this simultaneous, but it's completely outside of this linear thinking that we normally exist in. That's what Pesach is about. Pesach should help us start in it. But the problem is that we get stuck within the time, we get enslaved by the time, we get enslaved by the preparing for Pesach. Instead, I'm telling you, we absolutely get enslaved by it, but we need to perform the mitzvot as we're doing it by saying, I am doing this mitzvah because this is the relationship with the divine. Right now, I can't point my finger and say, there is God, ki'ilu ba'etzpa. But there will become a time that we'll be able to point our finger once we're able to completely break out of the very